Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and I'm so excited. As I live day to day selling windows and doors to builders that purchase those windows and doors, when I get to have a cutting edge builder come into the Art of Construction Mass Facilitators community, I'm so jazzed. And the main message today is that we need to be guiding the builders in the community to be using cutting edge tools while thoughtfully getting stuff done. And as we're recording this yesterday, with all the crazy news right now of all the AI tools of Copilot to Claude and all being integrated, of trying to figure out these massive giant tools around AI, it's still in the hands of the builders to execute these projects. And how this benefits you is that, you know, builders, we all know we have to win with tech, but we have to figure out how to own your data and figure out how to make it valuable. And the thing that I was super excited about, we get to interview John Brock today, is that he's really been on this quest similar to me in my day-to-day world of how to figure out how to get this digital build to match up with the physical build. And now is the time to truly empower this click-to-mortar revolution. Credit where credit's due, in my perspective, is that our top listened podcast in 2025 was shout out to my buddy Paul Wirth, titled The AI Revolution in Construction. How this originated is through LinkedIn. I saw John and Paul were presenting at the International Builders Show, which of the last 20 years, I've probably been to 18 of those, with this year being one of those I didn't go to in Orlando, and we'll be back and better than ever in Vegas next year, and super excited for that. But Paul and John did a presentation there that we're going to talk through on this conversation, and also all the great work that we're doing with Sean Kircher and his team at Humming Agent AI with the recent release of AI in Small Business. So tons of great conversation. And today I really wanted to weave those threads together of just talking through how builders are using cutting edge tools. So without further ado, let's get to know John's story and have as much fun as possible. Welcome, John. What's your favorite beverage?
I got to say a cold beer anytime.
All right. What's one that comes to mind?
I'm a Stella guy. I like Stella, but I also like IPAs.
Cool, cool. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Ireland, hands down.
Awesome. Terrifying, give us one story from that.
I got picked up two flat tires. This is a funny story. We did a 6-mile hike in the Glendalough Mountains. We're in the middle of nowhere, heading to our next destination in Kilkenny. And we're going up this little windy road. There's nowhere to pull over. You're on the wrong side of the road, and there's trucks coming. I had to get over slightly off the side of the road, heard a thump, and then a bump, 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 and I was like, oh, crap. Pulled over in the one driveway that was there, and my wife gets out. It's on her side, and she's going, both. Oh, I'm screwed. And we were just in Dublin the day before. So anyways, long story short, door opens, the gate opens up. This long-haired white dude, my hair dude, comes out, looks straight from the 80s like I was. And I said, pull your car down, tell them you're at area code such and such and such. And then an hour and 20 minutes later, they had us on the road. Super hospitable people, great people. But what started out as a nightmare turned out to be a funny story. But Ireland was awesome.
Awesome, man. Well, what is your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos we're going to talk about that we passionately call the art of construction?
Yeah, I'm a guitar player and musician, have played in bands all my entire adult life until COVID. COVID, I took a step back and focused on my business. But yeah, music's my second choice.
What's your favorite song to play on the guitar?
I was in an 80s band for the last decade, so I grew up with the 80s stuff when it was real. I played it when it first came out. And then just to play that kind of stuff, you know, and watch people go nuts is a lot of fun. So
I love it. No, I have to share one quick story. When my 17 and a half years ago, when my wife and I were getting married, we did a really small wedding. And then I was born in 1980, and I love 80s music. And we had wanted to have this huge party. And my goal was to have a rockin' 80s band, and the encore was Living on a Prayer. And we had like 280 people there, open bars, just this massive party. And if you're tuned up, it's a great song. And this gal, I went and interviewed the band and I said, you're hired as long as you can do the encore of Rock Living in the Prayer in the middle of the crowd. So everybody, you know, can be screaming Living on a Prayer. And that moment always resonates with me of just all of us, you know, coming together to have as much fun as possible. So it's an honor to have you here. Mr. John Brock, what is your story that led you to being a custom home builder and author of SketchUp for Builders and recently the founder of SpotCM.com, or a single point of truth in the construction management world?
Right. Well, I've been a custom builder for over 30 years. Had started out civil engineering, was going to head into the minor in construction management for Virginia Tech, and back in the 80s, actually. And mother was ill at the time, so I went to work for a residential builder. I planned on commercial and just got bit by the bug short term as a geotech engineer. I went right back into building. I started my custom building business when I had a 1-year-old and one on the way, and both of them are in their 30s and they're army pilots and officers and gone. They're not helping me, but they're serving their country and kicking some ass. So
awesome.
Yeah. And but I've always been obsessed with 3D modeling. Ever since I could first make a rafter go up in 3D in CAD years ago, I was a soft plan user for a number of years. And then I got into SketchUp and got really deep into SketchUp because I could model things exactly, components exactly the way I'm going to build it, not sort of a parametric guess at things that, you know.
Wait a second. You digitally build it how it actually is going to work?
Imagine that.
Instead of just physically build it and then tear it apart.
Yeah, this is a digital twin. This is like literally we do everything down to the stud. That led me into, I needed an estimating solution. So we got their attention years ago. Dwayne Addy, a buddy of mine, architect in Canada. We had a file we were working on that got corrupted. Anyways, they fixed it, but they sent it to their higher ups and they ended up hiring us to go speak at AIA and IBS. And so I've been speaking for them for years as sort of the contractor that they talk to. But years ago, about 15 years ago, I needed a way of estimating. I could model this pretty roof, how many squares of shingles are on it, how many sheets of drywall. And they all looked at me like I had two heads when I'm asking for an estimating solution. So they said, well, you know, Google owned them at the time. You can hire a developer, create your own extension. So I created Estimator for SketchUp, you know, 15 years ago or so. Along the way, I needed a way to do wall framing. So I created Framer for SketchUp. I hired a developer. So we have a parametric wall framing plugin. I have PDF importer, which allows me to import our drawings into SketchUp to scale and then model on top of them with our tools. So we basically build every house before it's built. We do constructability studies. We actually get the trusses from the truss manufacturer and we snap them right on the plate where they go. And 9 times out of 10, we find problems, whether there's a toilet sitting over top of a truss or dimensionally, they thought it was sheathing to sheathing instead of framing to framing and the trusses are an inch too long or an inch too short. But point is, we find out well before we order them in this whole constructability review that we do. So that is sort of our background, is the heavy into 3D, and I'm on a mission for everybody to have that same level of models. You know, I'm in a Builder 20 club through NAHB and started working for several of the builders in that club across the country because they didn't care about the renderings and that sort of thing. They cared about losing money on those kind of details. So we, you know, I got into heavy into that, and that's where I did the SketchUp for Builders book back in 2017, I guess, and still sells. Saw it at the bookstore at NAHB. It's kind of cool. But I've also been obsessed with, you know, I was an early co-construct guy, wanted to do that same kind of thing about the time that Donnie came out with co-construct. Didn't really like Builder Trend. Sorry, Builder Trend. And then was a customer of his for a while. When they sold to Builder Trend, I did not want to go on to Builder Trend. So I said, I'm going to build my own. So I built Spot, single point of truth. Basically, nobody has anything revolved around the drawings, maybe Procore, but they wanted a ton of money for that. So with Spot, you're basically hosting your drawings. The drawings are not just emailed about to people. You are hosting the current set of drawings, whether architectural, structural, cabinetry, whatever. You've got all those disciplines you can upload, but you can do markups, takeoffs, and then spaces, where spaces are all room, you know, data containers. Click on the kitchen and see the appliances and that sort of thing. So I was really obsessed with that and nobody was doing it. So that's why I decided to put that out there. So we just launched it at IBS. And so now I'm going through that painstaking thing of getting the word out.
I love it. Well, it's an honor to have you here of a building tools by a builder for builders. And in this day of like, you know, this week where you have this 365 and Claude in this world of like, what is this new world of these tools? It still goes back to relationships and handshakes on the job site and putting that digital and physical build together. And I think it's really timely as we're recording this on 3/11 of 26, but these global and timeless fireside chats all coming together are, it's, I think back of episode 136 released February 21st of 2019. And this was a podcast in a series with Builder Trend where I interviewed the founder and then I interviewed employee number one. And his name was Paul Wirth of Builder Trend. That was released February 21st of 2019, titled Builder Trend Series, How Client Communication Can Change Your Business. And I find that really interesting in the lead-in when you shared your story and in a legitimate way, you name drop of a few different tools that you've tried and just paid attention to say, should I build this myself or should I build it with others or should I use another a software as a service like a Builder Trend? And it's really interesting the journey that you and I have separately went to come and share this story today of how the threads come together of the different people. And the gooey middle of this conversation is going to be you and Paul coming together at the International Builders Show this year. So I always say, boy, some of the days can be long when you're trying to innovate in construction, but boy, the years are short as you put all this stuff together. So thanks for that wonderful lead-in. Not to go right into a selfish plug, because we are going to go there because you have now launched and we're going to share Spot CM. But I want to start by really from overview, what is your favorite tool for your home building company?
I guess for us, it goes back to the 3D models, which we can host inside of Spot too. So we haven't heard the expression, I didn't know it was going to look like that in a decade, because we build super detailed models. I've got a full-time SketchUp guy in the office next door here that all he does is models what our clients select. He models all the framing, he models all the structural bit, but he also models all the finishes. And our wife's our selections coordinator. My wife is our selections coordinator. And she helps them pick out their colors, their tile, their flooring, their cabinets. And then Mason models all that. And then we use Inkscape to do a photoreal parametric or panoramic tours. And then we put all that together in a virtual tour that our clients have access to, all the trades have access to. It's hosted on Spot, but there's a QR code for it. QR code for everything in Spot. Drawings, models, virtual tours, plans. We just have those laminated and put up in windows and people can walk up and electrician can just, hit it with his phone. He's looking at the kitchen appliances and going right to the oven specs, whatever he wants to see. But also the virtual tour is there. So we do that really, really, really detailed virtual tour. And then all the stakeholders have access to it. They can look at it and know exactly what the trim detail is supposed to look like, what the colors are looking like. It's very detailed. And I mean, that's by far, hands down, the best thing. The biggest differentiator I have for what we do versus what our competitors do.
I couldn't agree more. And that's why I was honored to be able to share this story and kind of going down, for lack of a better term, memory lane of how we got there, because I think there's just the adoption, right? Like, John, you're talking about, like, for the last 10 years, people have not been surprised about what they got. But that's not the norm, right? That's your competitive edge that you saw and how you have done to where there's two things you don't have enough of is, and that's time and money. And it's really that question of when they show up on the job site and as a guy that does the windows and doors and they give a call and say, these grids don't line up. This thing doesn't do. None of this is not what they want. That's not an easy fix on the job site, right? So you and I have learned that the hard way, have learned by doing. And you mentioned having a full-time person, i.e. person, a real person, still today as we're sitting there helping you render of saying we use Enscape. And you jumped over that. And I think it's cool to go back to memory lane. Later of that year, after the whole Builder Trend, we had a whole series around digital tools. And one of those was episode 157 titled How a Video Game Became Architecture's Most Powerful New Tool. And that was with my buddy Moritz Luck, who started the company Enscape. And we helped them launch that company then in 2019, which is really cool to hear you talk about how you're launching this company now. And I think about all the different tools when Moritz was building that out. And really, he just figured out to take, at the time, computational power was really hard to do. And he was able to use video game engines to streamline this stuff. And that's what I think you've been talking about all these years, to figure out that it's really hard to actually digitally build certain stuff just because the complexity of the computational power of how the kit of parts come together. I spent the last generation trying to do that with windows and doors. And quite frankly, the way we do it in the past is each window and door is like building a house itself in a digital model, right? And so you have to streamline this kit of parts. And that's what we talked about way back in 2019, to where then you have all of the mass adoption with mass consolidation. And when I think about that, is like Bill Allen with orchestrating a digital network of all these companies now being bought or sold by, in this case, it's Chaos and Autodesk, and to where, you know, Bill Allen's company Evolve Lab, I've had him on the podcast 3-4 times. So what I'm getting at of why I'm telling you all these podcasts is that it's this network of Art of Construction master facilitators. We all have to learn by doing, right? But at the same time, the industry is moving so much faster in this data revolution and AI, right? And I think that's kind of what you and Paul were talking about at the Builder Show that we're going to get to. So can you just talk a little bit more about how you handle showcasing your digital build to your clients?
Yeah. So, you know, we are using AI renderings now. I think I wouldn't want to be a rendering company right now, to be honest with you, because we're doing that. In fact, inside of Spot, I have Spot Studio. The theory there being that you'd be able to take a snippet of a model. I can even do it off of an elevation of a house and turn it into a photorealistic, AI generated rendering. But the idea that I wanted was for, and we've got built into Spot, is capture this vignette in a SketchUp model, Revit model, whatever, and then have it generate a photorealistic rendering of that. Further though, say I want to see what it looks like with Sherwin-Williams 7362, whatever color paint, and this flooring and this countertop, so that Bob and Susie, homeowner, could be doing this on a Saturday night, you know, or Sunday morning on their own.
Totally.
You know, and try to then submit those decisions and catalog that decision, or, you know, capture that decision that they made. Because right now I have to have an employee doing that. So he's our VDC coordinator and he's used to that. But it'd be great if they could do that themselves without having to spend his time. So, and I think eventually these panoramic tours will hopefully be AI rendered as well. Until then, we're using our workflow of SketchUp to Enscape, to a virtual tour software, to finally put up on Spot.
Well said. And the evolution, I love the journey of learning from our mentors. I think about Matt McMullen, who our executive director of the Art of Construction. He talks about on that same podcast as back in when he was a first-time renderer, about he was doing it with a VHS tape, and he would do it, and they would do it, and it would take like weeks to do it. And then he would fly to his clients in LA and put these were clients that were doing, you know, movies, right? So they knew this world and they expected to see the film of their house. And so he was like doing this on a VHS tape, and way back, people listening to this, you know, the digital natives of me, of a digital immigrant, I still kind of know the evolution of these tools that we use to migrate, to move this stuff together, where now it just all sits in the quote unquote cloud. And that's what that really means, is that we can streamline this stuff and move faster, right? And that's what we're all trying to figure out. How do we move faster? But the key thing you talked about is the clash detection, but more importantly, the budget to the actual, right? And so we're trying to figure out, when someone sees a picture, what does this cost? And I think we're in a real slippery slope right now of what that means, right? So I'm curious, why did you build Spot, and talk through really what Spot is?
Well, like I said, I wanted to have a complete end-to-end project management solution. I didn't want to have to go to Bluebeam or some other software to do markups, to do takeoffs, to put it into Excel, to do estimating. Even like I have Estimator for SketchUp, I could do these full estimates on my models. But for CoConstruct, BuilderTrend, any of those, I can't just import it in. or it doesn't API in.
We're totally in the SaaS world is dead, and they're in trouble right now because how do you take all these software as a service that don't actually do the single source of truth? I mean, I've done a ton of podcasts with companies like Trimble where I really bought into their marketing of single source of truth, but how it actually works is a little bit different.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I brought the drawings in. So I brought the drawings in where you could do markups. You could do, there's basically three filters on top of the PDF. So you can do markups, and we add spotlights. So instead of these red circles and squares, which you can still do, I give you the obligatory 2D tools. But the idea is you can add a spotlight on something. This little yellow dot goes on there. You can at Mason, move this door down 3 feet. I can make it to where only he sees that. We can communicate back and forth, and everybody's not getting the notification fatigue of all these new markups. So that's our spotlights and our markups. Then we have our takeoffs, and you do length, area, and counts that can all get pushed into. These become parameters in your takeoff portion of spot. So, and they also integrate with Hover. So if you have a Hover model or if you have a Hover project, I do that all the time. I even though I do my own 3D models and Hover is an exterior only, sometimes when I get a set of plans, I'll throw it up and get a Hover model for $170 or whatever it is. And I can send that day to those clients and they're like, how did you do this? You know, I can sit there and change the color of my shingles and do all this. So not only that, I get all those measurements, and we API with Hover now. So where you link it to that project, not only do you get that model that you can host and view, you get their measurements report that comes over with every facet, every measurement, length and area on that exterior. And then I use that for my exterior takeoffs. So I'm getting a win-win. I'm getting all my estimating quantities. They become parameters that I can use in my estimate. So when I'm doing my roofing, I can just say equals and then pick my roofing category from Hover. So, and all the 2D dimensions or 2D attributes that you collect in length and area and counts also populate the parameters. And then you just use that to build your estimate right inside a spot.
This is just such a fun journey for me listening to where, correct me if I'm wrong, you're using all these tools in your custom building company, right?
Absolutely.
They're not just theory that you're selling a technology to somebody.
Yeah.
You're actually using them.
I built
right?
it for
and
us first.
And I think that's an important, you know, I think about, you know, you said Hover. And ironically, as you're saying these tools, it's been this journey of almost 400 podcasts where right after the podcast I talked about last time, I think of show episode 275 titled A Seamless Digital Sales Experience, which was with Hover. And that was with Ali, who's now the chief business development officer at Hover. And I really challenged them. And this is where that evolution of like learn by doing. And I said, if we're really going to be successful, you got to start bringing in power users. And they brought in Chad Inger, of a guy from me growing up in the Black Hills of South Dakota. It was cool to get to meet someone that was a roofing company that talked through how it was a game changer of him using Hover. But then realizing and what are the strengths, and because there is no silver bullet of one tool doing it all, right? So Hover was this exterior of like what they focused on. But then, John, you had to take all that stuff to build the whole house. And the big thing, the big difference between a lot of these, when I have these interviews, they're like, with technology, you get it good enough and then you release it and you just keep making it better and you have different releases. And we're in a spot now that, pun intended, it's not just one spot, John. If you to build a custom home, you don't just say, you know, we got half the walls done and we got half the windows in, but you know, that's kind of where we're at. We'll get you the next release for you to build this house. That's not how building. So it's this weird evolution of getting the construction build, the digital people and the physical people to say, done means they actually get a certificate of occupancy and they pay me and I can move on to the next one. That's what it means to be a custom home builder. Now, how do you take the tools to put that together? Could you shed some light on these kind of, I think how you and I have weaved through a lot of different threads that you're talking about. Done is the building's actually done with a CO, because you go right into the front end of this thing. How much does it cost for these tools, right? And that's the hard part I'm assuming you're wrestling with if you've launched Spot, to say it's just blood, sweat, and tears. I make this work for I have a happy client and a testimonial that pays me to give a referral to the next build. And now you're trying to launch this digital tool. Can you talk through my evolution that I talked through with the different tools of your own, and then kind of talk through the cost structure and how do you get involved in Spot?
Right. So again, wanting to have all the features under one roof or in one platform, I went on a mission of everything that we were doing. Okay, my controller, she's doing updating our certificate of insurances in Excel. Okay, we're going to bring that into Spot. So now with one little click, she can see who's expired, who's expiring, and I'll be thinking right inside of Spot. I also, in my 20 club, I'm constantly, we're doing financials, you know, we're projecting our year and all that kind of stuff. I wanted to tie, we would always have this level two dashboard that my coach gave me that I would have a spreadsheet with all my, like, here's a project over 12 months, and I would move it along in the spreadsheet to see how our cash flow is looking. Well, heck with that. I went over into InSpot, every cost item, you can link it to the job schedule. So all your cash flow links, if it's a monthly allocation, you can go monthly.
You mean the PO matches the actual Gantt chart?
The actual estimate item, yeah. Believe that.
So, and whatever you want to call it, at the end of the day, the tools have to align. Right. And these software as a services are really hard to do of these, you know, these, the builder first source buying the paradigm to the back engine of the builder trends, buying the CBUSA and all these clubs and people and who's buying who. If one person owns it all, it's really hard to have it all come together. And that's really what I'm getting at when you talk about how much does it cost to have a silver bullet to shoot at your high-end custom construction project. The reality is there isn't one, right? So if you are going to do this, give me the 30-second commercial and we'll put links to the show notes to set up if you're interested in how to check out Spot. And then we're going to talk about the riches and the niches with what you and Paul talked about at the Builder Show. But talk through the cost structure, how it works, as you just released this brand new tool for others to use, the tool that you're using every day, if I understand it right.
Yeah, so we're trying to, you know, in the inaugural bit, the first 100 builders, we're calling it, the builder founders here. We're doing $399 a month. So it puts it under $5,000 a year, which is underneath all them. And we have all of their features and then some, you know, all the drawings, the models. There's just so many features beyond that. But that's the inaugural bet, $399 a month. And the first 100 builders get that locked in for 24 months. So 2 years. And so that's what we're doing. We're trying to find those people that aren't exactly happy with what they're currently using. And I just know, I mean, been around it long enough, I know builders that want more. And then there's plenty of builders that aren't even using the features that they have now. I mean, I know some guys that are using BuilderTrend just for the scheduling or whatever. I'm like, God, use MS Project for that. I mean, or Smartsheet or something like that.
So and that's not a BuilderTrend problem. That's hard when you say we're the one thing for everything. And I find a lot of times the builders I work, they BuilderTrend, they're like loyal to it. They're like, because they do my marketing and the website and I get to go to this meetup and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, that's why you're in BuilderTrend? Like, so we're not here to knock other tools.
Absolutely not.
Amazing what they've done. Like, you know, they were an early platform that did a lot of really cool stuff, but now it's the evolution of these new cutting edge tools.
Right? Yeah. And it's surprising.
I commend you for,
go ahead. No, I was going to say, it's surprising what builders, you know, here, as I was building Spot, I'm thinking, oh, great, with this day and age of AI, everything, people will just, they'll build their own system. And I started looking at the guys in my club going, there's not one of them that will sit there on 4th of July weekend on a Sunday, you know, typing away on a computer. They're going to be saying, how much do I pay for it? But again, I think builders are slow to adopt technology, and like I said, they're not even going to use some of the, you know, not all of the features for sure.
And that's something you and I got to meet up with the Art of Construction Master Facilitators community, because me spending 30 years in supply channels selling to the builders, and the builders just trying to get an automated bid and who cares about the window guy? I coach a group of window dealers around the whole country, and we're all trying to figure out. I literally ran my group yesterday, and I went around everybody and we were talking through, shout out to Donald Miller and his Story brand. And we went to this whole thing of like, it's basically this whole thing about back to how to write a movie and who is the hero and who is the villain. And I went around and asked everybody, who's the builder in the story? And it went back and forth, hero, villain. And that's why I'm on this quest of Art of Construction to say, you can point the finger at whoever you want in the life cycle of the construction project, but you have to figure out how to put that together. And the riches and the niches are like true people getting out and talking about it, like going to the builder show and being in the audience to say, how do we take these early adopters like you and I, the I've referenced three podcasts of 400 of the Johns around the world, the last generation, to now take and package that to move it forward. So like I said on the intro, I saw that you presented at the International Builders Show with my buddy Paul Wirth, who just launched Assembly AI, our number one listened podcast in 2025. Again, shout out to Paul for stepping out of working with these different companies of Builder Trend and Paradigm to now taking all those lessons learned to lead an AI generation tool. What are some of the questions of the common questions that were asked to you guys? And kind of give us kind of a synopsis, like we were in the, you know, recap, as the AI says. We weren't physically there, but can you talk us through what you presented and what questions people are getting you as your launching spot?
Sure. Yeah, I first met Paul probably 5 or 6 years ago when he was a Builder Trend and I was doing a construct. I used to speak at IBS pretty much each year doing presentations on constructability or that sort of thing, 3D modeling. And Paul and I were on a panel together. That's how I first met him. Then I saw him again at last year's IBS doing this presentation on AI for estimating. I knew he had the Assembly AI bit, but we connected along the way, and I guess I became sort of like a subject matter expert for him to, you know, help him, you know, with coming from a builder standpoint. And because I like what he's doing, he's on a quest to become sort of the construction GPT, and I am too in my own ways. And yeah. So he asked me to sort of co-present with him at this event. And again, it's a very non-promotional type thing. You know, we were basically talking about how builders can use AI. I was exhibiting for the first time at IBS, where I've always been there as a builder, first time as a exhibitor. So I know as a builder, I've
Which
walked
by these Take a moment and pat yourself on the back, really, like as a lifelong learner of all these years of giving to the industry to now being there on the presentation side. It's a pretty cool moment if you stop and think about this story we're sharing.
But karma's also a bitch, though. You're walking by that booth, but don't make eye contact. So I had 4 seconds, so, you know, to get their attention. So I'm like, hey, I'm a builder too. Let me show you what I built over here for builders.
Totally. That's a tough scenario. I hear you, buddy.
Yeah, but so Paul was basically kind of giving the overview of because a lot of builders don't even know what even ChatGPT is, you know. So he was kind of doing the highlights of all the different ones that are out there. And in fact, I gave away at the event. I had a QR code at the end. I had eliminated my need for Bluebeam, I thought, using Spot because I had my markups and takeoffs and all that. But I was still using Bluebeam to do to like merge sheets together or extract sheets or rotate.
Stapling,
so I said, screw it. It was a snowy Saturday morning. I vibe coded a thing I call plan sets, which merges, extracts, all that kind of stuff. I vibe coded it in like 2 or 3 hours and included that in Spot. So I thought, I'll just give that away. So I was like, hey, if you want to see how a builder used AI to vibe code an app for replacing my subscription to Bluebeam, and I put it up on a QR code thing and 100 people downloaded it that time. I captured their email addresses, you know? But I mean, it was, but it was just to show that any of us can do that. I'm not a coder. I don't know the first thing about it. I've got SketchUp extensions, but I had to pay somebody to do that. So it's giving us these tools now that empowering a geek like me who's dreamed of this stuff. And it's not the a year of building it. It's the 20 years of dreaming about it, but not having the money to go out and hire a developer. And I went down that road twice when I first started Spot, and I spent a ton of money and it went nowhere and I had to shut it down until I finally clicked in on the AI bit. So
gosh, that's so meaningful of what you just said. We're all trying to find that cutting edge tool because it's like all the news of all this VC money of like, there's just so much money to be made in construction tech. I question if there really is, you know, same as me not knowing my wife is in healthcare. It's like, there's so much money to be made in streamlining that. Well, you got to meet the people, the businesses and the municipalities where they are. And we got a big uphill climb on all this stuff coming together. Right. And so we'll make sure we put links to the Spot in the show notes to, you know, I can't wait to talk to you more about, I'm not a builder, but I want to find a way to connect the builders to be in the foundation of this whole thing, because it's really cool of taking the tribal knowledge of your 20 years of learn by doing to now package in a tool to make it work. That's what I think is super cool about what you've done with Spot. So I commend you for all that work you've done. as we work to close this thing out, the questions that we always ask that I'm super intrigued about your answer of on this journey, have I referenced three podcasts along the way of the 400? And I've asked this question many, many times. And I just chose to ask this question at the very beginning, because when I started this thing, quite frankly, I was just a small business owner that sucked at public speaking, and I wanted to find a cutting edge tool, just like I've heard from you, John, on this whole conversation. It's like, how do we not just build it three times in the field, and by the end of the day, we're just trying to get out of the job? How do we, when we go to the field, we're definitely connecting it back to the office and the checkbooks and the smiling faces around that. Like, that's, I think, the quest we're all trying to do, because construction is this passionate project that it's really cool we get to do is see this these finished projects being built. It's really fun and really cool, but it's really stressful if it's not what they want and you don't make any money doing it, because then you can't keep doing that. And that's just not fun, right? So as the question we always ask, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction, guided by the light of all the North Stars that you've shared with us along the way today?
Yeah, I'd say it's twofold. I think the first thing that with doing the 3D modeling bit, I'm on a quest for everybody to have that level of detail models. I built Spot, get it up to this level. I want to shoot it past to get it to where everybody has the 3D model that's all baked in. I'll give you a little quick story. I was out on a job site, whole Hispanic crew framers, didn't speak any English at all. And I had my model open on my iPad. They were asking me where the draft stopping went on the floor trusses. So we modeled that in. So I was showing them, this is on this truss on the side of F3, whatever. And I was showing them the model. My superintendent called me. I handed him the iPad. I went to take the call. I came back. He is flying around the model already on my iPad, barking out orders to his guys, smiling from ear to ear. And he's like, can I get this? And I invited him in that night. I figured the next morning I'd have to show him how to download it and everything. He was already in the model and barking out orders. And it was like, that was it. I broke the language barrier with the model. So I want everybody to have that. But in terms of also down the technology side, I think, you know, you've seen like the Spot dog, the Boston Dynamics dog, you know, I think that's our next superintendent. You know, sorry for my superintendent. I was in a band with him for 10 years. He's a good friend of mine. But I think that you're going to have that sort of robotic, you know, supervisor that's out there and walking around with LIDAR and saying, hey, this rough opening is wrong, or this wall is out 2 inches or something like that. I think you're going to see a lot of that kind of tech. And I think it's going to be sooner rather than later. You know, I can't wait to have the first one.
I'm so excited to share a quick story with you all right now, to where you can follow up with John and I after. We did a pre-interview and we worked really hard to understand where him and I came from, but we did not plan all these podcasts that I'm referencing. We literally are just having this conversation around the fire, sharing our journeys, how we got here. But I'm going to tell two quick stories about this morning. Shout out to Crystal McCartan, who took the baton for me to do all the marketing for my window and door company just 90 days ago. And our story started a few years ago, where we're both shared passion about bourbon, and we're working our private bourbon at our club, at my golf club in our retreat center that John and I are going to talk about after this podcast, about how I'm going to be one of his clients to put this stuff together. And someday we share a bottle of bourbon on the physical patio from the digital build. But he mentioned, you know, you heard about this dog thing. And I'm like, okay, episode 241. How a robot dog creates a single source of truth on projects. And this was like, blew me away when I got to go to Trimble and David Brzezek, who I think now is at Ferguson and maybe left there, of these adopters of like seeing what could happen at an amazing, you know, working with Boston Dynamics and Trimble and those companies back in 2021 was just like mind-blowing of what could be, right? Of connecting the field to the office. So I've been investing in a software for the last 3 years with good college buddies, and we're just using Microsoft platform on the week of Claude and 365 coming together and trying to understand how do we keep moving this thing together. And yes, last week we rolled out our MVP internally behind the scenes. And then yesterday I had this training working, shout out to Sean Kircher and our partners at with Humming Agent AI. And he said, you know what, Devin, we're just going to give a couple weeks ago, we're like building websites and fast tracking all this stuff. And he said, I'm just going to bring you into the tent. We worked out a whole thing that there's all kinds of cool announcements coming. And then yesterday I said, I got to bring someone in because I can't, the humans are, and the robots got to come together. And I brought in Crystal yesterday. And he goes right into it and he's like, there it is. And I was like, uh-oh, here's another launch from an IT perspective. And I backed up and I said, I just changed the narrative. I said, this is the craziest time, Crystal, that you just keep being the best human you can be. But I'm going to train you on how to augment this through agent number 5. That's the name of the AI agent that she met yesterday. And then we had this whole conversation of how you speak to an agent. And what is the truth of what the agent gives you back is really what we're all trying to figure out right now, because we truly do need that source of truth. And I commend you, John, what you're doing of sharing to the industry, but the right selfish way. You're actually using it in your business and you're pushing it forward and you're involved in these different national organizations. It's an honor to be aligned with you. But as we leave and put one step in front of the other, Tribe, I am lost just like you, but I can tell you right now, it's pretty fun if you jump into this game, because it's right now, it's right there to go. You don't need to be everything to everybody. There's tools for that, right? And Spot is one of those tools. But as this podcast is for builders and affiliates to go out there and crush it and grow their business, John, what is that one thing you want to leave them with here, recording today around the fire at 3:11:26, from all those references along the way?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, technology aside from all of it, the best thing I ever did for my business 16 years ago was to join a Builder 20 Club through NAHB. Bar none, the best decision I made. You are around other guys just like you across the country in non-competing environments, and you learn so much from them. You share everything imaginable, become brothers, really. But that was the best business decision I ever did. I increased my margins. I did increase my efficiencies. It was, hey, hire this guy, fire that guy. We visit each other's locations twice a year. We have meetings. I just got back from Utah visiting our guy in Heber City. And so if I can make any recommendation to, especially young builders, new builders, join a 20 Club, because you'll learn so much and improve your business, you know, tenfold.
Love it. John, what an honor. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your story. In addition to the riches and the niches of joining your builder club, non-competing, I would advise people to look at, say, what umbrella policy are helping tie all this stuff together? Because it's a segmented thing that we're trying to put together. The PS ending is the Art of Construction Master Facilitators. Crush it out there, Tribe.